In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see today, especially all of our young men and women of our confirmation class here present for your first class today, right? You already did it. You had your scripture study. You had your introduction. And isn't it amazing to see the sanctuary full? We didn't know that, but we actually had to stick Cristobal over here to be able to make sure everybody has a seat up here. This is a great problem to have. I'm so happy. I'm absolutely giddy with what's going on right here. You ladies did an excellent job doing the readings again today. Eva and Danae, well done. Two announcements that we have to make. Really, it's all about the bingo that we have going on next weekend. Next weekend at 2 o'clock, next Sunday, we have our Fiesta Bingo, which is going to be going on soon. So make sure that you're able to be a part of that over at the KC Hall. On Monday, which is tomorrow at noon, all those who are preparing for that have a meeting in room number 2 over there. Just know that this is going on right there. Another thing is that we have a funeral this week. We had 2 last week. We have 1 this week on Friday. Just found out yesterday, immediately before the Mass, that Mr. Ventura Lopez passed away. Remember, Mr. Ventura Lopez, his sister is Maria Lucinda, who we laid to rest a couple months ago. His brother, Ramon, we laid to rest last week. And so this family has experienced 3 deaths in a very short period of time. Pray for the souls of Maria Lucinda, for Ramon, and as well for Mr. Ventura, but also for their families who mourn 3 times coming back to this church, 3 times to lay their family members to rest. It's very difficult for just 1. They have 3. Another thing is we're so thankful for all those who help out here at Mass. To our young men who serve at the altar as well, our Knights of the Altar, the deacon who consistently covers up all my mistakes. But even for you, as you have come up and given your ministry as lectors, those of you who do that, those of you who consistently bring up the gifts as well, for those of you who take up the collection and make sure that everything goes well, that people are able to find their seats as they need to, and our choirs who slave over music to make sure that we have something to glorify God with, you do an amazing job. And that's not even to mention all those of you who come here in the middle of the week and make sure that the church is clean, that the linens are folded and washed. Without such things like that, our parish wouldn't be able to go forward in that way. The Mass would not be able to happen so smoothly and as well. I'm thankful for that. Thank you for what you continue to do. In a spirit of thankfulness, let's listen to the difficulties that our Lord presents for us in a very tough teaching. Our Lord says, if anyone comes to me without hating his father and his mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, and even his own life, then he cannot be my disciple. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Before we get into that, pay attention to that first reading. It's from the Book of Wisdom. And some of us, that's the one thing that we need to focus on today, because we're struggling. We have confusion going on in our life. We don't know what's going on within our world. We can't seem to make sense of anything that's going on in our life. And we're saying, God, do you really have a plan? Do you have a way where this can go forward? And I can't see it. If that's you today and you're struggling with that, just spend this time during the homily reading that first reading over and over again to see how, guess what? Yes, God does have a plan, but he's given you wisdom in his scriptures and is implanted within you who've been baptized, and especially you who've been confirmed, the gift of his Holy Spirit, the counselor, the consoler, to guide you through life. Sit with that. In the second reading, what is that? But St. Paul dealing with 2 people who have a disagreement, a misunderstanding among themselves. Philemon and Onesimus. Philemon, the master. Onesimus, the slave. And how their relationship has changed, and he's urging them to find a way to go forward, even in the midst of the confusion, the difficulties, and the hurt feelings that exist with how their relationship was changed and broken. And in fact, it's in the spirit of that that this homily is inspired. You'll see how that plays out in just a moment. Jesus, in the gospel that Deacon Marvin gave us, is laying down for us conditions for discipleship. What is a disciple? Somebody who follows, a follower. So he's laying down the conditions for us to be able to be disciples. He says, if we do not fulfill these things that he speaks about here in the gospel, then we can't be called Jesus' disciples, his followers. But don't let that cause you to lose heart if you fall short in some sort of way. Because when we fall short of what our Lord is bringing before us, he doesn't abandon us and kick us out. He says, come with me. Walk with me. I'll help you along the way if you just desire my help. You see, the whole purpose of the priest, the whole reason why I was consecrated and ordained a priest of Jesus Christ, is only to help you to get there. to help you to walk that way, to grab your hand, to walk mano in mano with you, apostle, step by step, each and every way, so that you can realize that friendship with Jesus Christ that he's in. I'm always on your side. I'm always on your side. Make no mistake. Always for you, never against you. So I'm going to cover two things here, two primary purposes that we have. The first is to talk about the importance of the Eucharist. The importance of the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity that we have here, but also do a practical review of how it is that we should comport ourselves, behave in the presence of God to receive Jesus in the most blessed sacrament. You know, we're beginning the school year, right? So it's time to review some things of etiquette so that we make sure that we're all on the same page. Here's a question that was brought up to me, a difficulty rather, a hardship that somebody came up to me this week. They told me, and I'm going to give you it, I don't know who said it, and I received the story third hand. So now you're receiving it fourth hand. So I'm going to give it to you, what happened here in our parish, whether it was this week or last week or somewhere in previous weeks, I don't know, and I don't know who it involves. Maybe you do. But this is what was said. It was said by somebody in our parish this week. They said, Father didn't bless me. I recognized that when I came up for Holy Communion, I wasn't worthy. I was listening to what Father said in the homily. I wasn't worthy, so I came up, I crossed my arms, approached the altar rail, and Father didn't bless me. Father's a jerk. I can't believe he refused to bless me. And so, as long as Father's a jerk, I'm never coming back to that church again. It's hard words to hear. And to put the motions aside, the reasons why those happen, to bracket that off, the thing that brings me even greater grief is that it shows that, it asks the question, how weak is our love for Jesus? How weak is our love for Jesus if we're willing to know that we're unworthy and to somehow deepen that unworthiness to receive Jesus over something that's like this, to separate ourselves from God when he just wants to be blessing within our lives? Certainly, if that's what's going on, we can't say that our love for Jesus, that we love him more than maybe we love our fathers and our mothers, our children, our spouses, and especially our own life, read that, our own pride. And that way we prove ourselves that we're not able to follow Jesus anymore, to be his disciple. And so that's the hardship that's going on in there. And look, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm not trying to rub anybody's nose, anything. I have no idea who it is. I hold no animus whatsoever. But I want to bring up this fact. And we preached about it a number of times. Look through the archives and the homilies online. You'll find that homily. Maybe you recall it even now, to bring our attention to the fact that sometimes what happens is that we make ourselves to be so sensitive. So sensitive that we're ready to leap into judgment. That we're ready to run out there and to defame somebody before others. That we're ready to accuse before the whole world others out of the pain that we ourselves have experienced in some way. Instead of taking that moment to step back and to say, whoa, what just happened there? And to figure out what really was at issue there. What really could have happened. Because sometimes if we feel aggrieved about something, or we feel aggrieved by somebody who we feel attacked by, maybe what we should do is ask a question and say, let's check to see, did I see things properly? Did I assess the situation accurately? Because in truth, we're honest. Most of the time when we get hurt, when something happens to us, we realize that we can't judge our situations rightly. So we got to go to somebody who's outside of ourselves, who's a little bit further away from the issue, because we're too close. We lack respect. To go to that person who's objective, to go to that person who will actually call us out on our stuff, and to deal with our misconceptions so that we can see what the reality of the situation is. And I think that's really what happened here. So I want to take this time to address some questions on Holy Communion. Holy Communion Day, some etiquette questions that are there, because all of us have something to learn about this. All of us do. I've not arrived. Deacon's not arrived. None of us are there. In fact, somebody came up to me after the last Mass. He said, Father, guess what? I'm 74 years old. I've been Catholic my whole life and went to sister school. I learned something today at Mass. So I want to give that to you. Quick question to answer what went on today, what went on at that time that was there. What happens when somebody comes up for a blessing and not for Holy Communion because they're not worthy to do so? I can't give you the answer for that. Because first I have to know who you are. So there's two categories. If you come up to Holy Communion, you approach the altar rail, and you're under First Communion age, you're preparing for First Holy Communion, you're preparing to enter into the church, then what you'll hear from deacon, what you'll hear from the priest are these words. You'll hear, Jesus loves you, and you'll receive benediction with the Blessed Sacrament. But if you're not First Communion age, if you're not preparing to enter into the church, you'll hear different words. You'll hear the priest, you'll hear the deacon say these words to you. He'll say, repent and believe in the gospel. Amen. You'll hear those words. Remember, those are the words that each of us hears when we receive the ashes on Ash Wednesday. They're spread over our heads. You hear Father and the deacon say, repent and believe in the gospel. A question arises, well, why doesn't Father touch me? Why doesn't deacon touch me? Why is it that he says these words that he says right there? We got to ask another question. Not just, why doesn't Father touch me? But ask a deeper question. What is it that Father is touching at this time? What is he touching at the time when you come up for Holy Communion? What's he touching? That's right, Jesus. He's touching the Eucharist. He's touching the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's actually, substantially, really present there. He's holding him. Do you see how careful it is that deacon, that father is, when they're handling the Eucharist with their fingers after touching Jesus in the Eucharist? Do you notice how Father's fingers are always like this, held together, from the moment Jesus is consecrated at the altar until finally his fingers have been purified, so that not a small little crumb will even fall from his fingers? Do you notice how he keeps his hands inside the corporal, which is that cloth that's spread out on the altar at the beginning of Mass? He doesn't bring his hands outside of that once Jesus is consecrated. Before that, his hands are not inside the corporal. They're outside, held like this, and then afterwards, they're there together. He only touches Jesus with the tips of these fingers, by the way, too. Do you notice how when Father is doing there, and Deacon, when they're purifying the altar, they're doing the ablutions after Mass, how careful it is that they are so that everything is contained in there and poured from chalice to chalice, from ciborium to ciborium, and everything finds its way until it's finally consumed in the person of the deacon or the priest? Do you notice how the communion plates are handled by these knights of the altar, how they make sure that they bring it up, hold it under the hand, or hold it under the chin of those who come to receive in the hand, or come to receive on the mouth, making sure that Jesus is followed, not just so that every host may not fall, but so that even the particles of it. And even if there aren't any knights of the altar around, the deacon or the priest will take the ciborium and hold it beneath the chin, or hold it beneath the hand of the person, so that those particles in the same way may not fall carelessly to the ground. Do you notice how after distributing Holy Communion, how the minister will go up and approach the Blessed Sacrament, go there and open a little tiny jar, a little ablution cup which is there, removing the lid, and then washing his fingers there to make sure that everything stays there. Eventually, that water is poured down the sacrarium, which goes directly not into the sewer, but only into the earth which is there, so that those substances, which may still be Jesus Christ, do not fall into the sewer where all sorts of grossness flows. Do you notice how after Father receives Holy Communion of the host, he scrapes the corporal with the paten over and over again, pushing either those particles onto the paten or into the very center of the corporal. And then he takes it and carefully puts everything into the chalice. Do you see how he folds up the corporal in a specific way? How he goes away from himself, then toward himself, and then left and then right. And what that does is it forces, if there happen to be any particles are there, that they'll fall directly into those folds that are there in the center. And they'll remain so that nothing can go out. Even if the corporal were to fly across the room, it'd still remain in that center portion there, so that nothing falls away. In fact, you may not know this, but those linens which are used at Mass are put in a special bag. They're not just thrown into the laundry machine. They're put in a special bag, and then they're meticulously washed in a separate container one time to make sure that if there's anything that's there that is still Jesus, it remains in there, each one, each article washed individually, then hung up to dry. And then the water that was there is not poured into the sewer, but it's poured down into the earth or down the sacrarium, because we have to be careful about these things. Our faith teaches us what? Our faith, our Catholic faith, teaches us that every particle of the Eucharist is 100% the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. It is God who is actually present for us there. He is really, truly, and substantially present in that time, so we take great care from him. In fact, maybe you recall at times prior, thanks be to God, it's not happened in a while, where somebody has tried to receive Holy Communion in their hands and were careless about it. And by doing so, not even the good work of the Knights of the Altar were able to catch that host as it fell sacrilegiously down to the ground. Have you noticed how it is Father will go up and he'll receive that host, receive it unto himself, and consume it? And then everywhere that the host may have fallen, he'll scrape meticulously with his own thumb all the grime, all the dirt, all the nastiness that people's feet have tracked in here, and he'll take that thumb and lick it, to suck all of that up, because every particle is Jesus. It doesn't matter that he's going to have gross things in addition. And then he'll take the wine, the water, which are brought up by the knights of the altar, wine first, then water. Wine, because it's a noble substance, and the alcohol actually in it helps to clean and purify further. The water helps to purify the wine as well that is there, everything wiped up, and then that cloth is then in turn taken and put there so that it may be properly washed as well. Do you see what's going on here? Do you come to understand there that there was even number of people who've come up, even from our own parish here, who've wandered away from the Catholic faith, who after seeing that have communicated to me through other parishioners who have brought them here, they say, really, wow, you really do believe that that is Jesus, because that is the way you would treat it if it was Jesus, because it is Jesus, my brothers and sisters. It is 100% God. He's truly there. And so, to sum up, if Father is there, if he's been touching Jesus in the Eucharist with his hands, and will continue to touch Jesus with his hands after you have passed on, and every particle is the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is truly substantially present, then why would he take that same hand and touch you with it to smear those particles on your forehead, or to smear them into your scalp in some sort of way, to be abused in that fashion? Notice something about Father. Notice something about Deacon. We're happy to touch you anytime. We're happy to shake your hands, to give you the hug, to give you the fist bump that there is after Mass. That we're happy to come and to lay our hands on you in prayer, wait till the very end when everybody's going, and we'll pray for you fervently. If you want to bring your articles to be blessed, to bring them. If you want your car to be blessed, your boat to be blessed, your aeroplane to be blessed, bring them there, and after Mass, we'll do all those things with all the rites of the Church. But after Mass. Because during Mass, Deacon and Father, we only touch Jesus. We only touch our Lord. That's what it's all about. You may ask the question, well, why is it that Father says, repent and believe in the gospel? And before we get there, we even have to ask the question, what does it mean to even bless? What does it mean to bless? I know some of you know Spanish. How do you say, bless me, Father, in Spanish? Say it louder. Bendígame, Padre, right? Well, what does that word mean, bendiga? It's composed of two words, isn't it? Bien and diga. Bien diga. That's two words that have been smashed together. What does bien mean? Bien means good or well, right? And diga comes from the verb decir, which means what? To say, to speak. So what does it mean then to bless? To bless is not an action. To bless isn't a touch. To bless is to speak. To bless is to say. So when we bless something, we speak the good thing. We speak the good thing about that someone. To bless means to speak well of somebody who's around. To bless means to say the words that will make that person good, or rather, to at least make them better. That's what it means to bless. That's what blessing is. It's not about actions. It's about words that are spoken. So why is it that Father uses those words from Ash Wednesday, that Deacon speaks, repent and believe in the gospel when you come up unworthy to receive Holy Communion? The reason is this, because anything that keeps you or me from being able to receive Jesus worthily in the most holy sacrament of the altar, whatever it is, I need to repent of it. I need to flip a 180 on that thing. Because receiving Jesus in Holy Communion is the most incredible, amazing thing that you or I will ever do this side of heaven. God willing, we'll do something even greater in heaven if we make it. You see, if I don't take Jesus' words seriously enough to abandon everything, as it says in the gospel, that keeps me from receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, then I need somebody to exhort me. I need somebody to tell me. I need somebody to urge me, encourage me to really find a living faith in Jesus Christ that will actually affect my actions and bring me to the humility, as we talked about last week, to go to that confessional hole to confess my sins so that I can be reconciled, brought back to God. So if I have a gravely sinful habit or compulsion, I need to repent and believe in the gospel. If I'm cohabitating or not actually married before God, then R&D, I need to repent and believe in the gospel. If I'm a Catholic politician who propagates gravely immoral stances, then what I need to do is I need to repent and believe in the gospel. If I'm a Protestant or a Jew or a Jehovah's Witness or a Hindu or a Mohammedan or anything that isn't totally Catholic, what I need to do is I need to really study the Word of God, especially the Eucharistic realism of John chapter 6, and believe it. I need to repent of that false belief that's keeping me away from Jesus in the most blessed sacrament so that I can finally receive him. Remember the words of Jesus in the gospel. What did he say? He said, if anybody comes to me without hating his father and his mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and his sisters, his wife, and even his own life, his own pride, then he can't be my follower, my disciple. So what it means is that we have to hate that compulsion. We have to hate that habit. We have to hate that sinful aspect of that relationship in order to change it and make it right. That we have to really hate those godless political ideas or policies. Then we have to really hate those false, non-Catholic beliefs. Otherwise, we cannot be Jesus' disciples. Otherwise, we can't receive him in Holy Communion. And you see, the reason why the priest exists, the reason why the deacon exists, is only to walk with you hand in hand, step by step, so that you can make it, so that you can change that thing in your life, so that you can come to the point of receiving Jesus worthily. So to sum it up, Father blesses every single person who comes to him all the time, who asks for the blessing. He speaks well of them. The things that will really bring them ultimately to everlasting life. He doesn't touch them. He doesn't touch anyone in Mass because he touches only Jesus, who is really substantially, actually present here in the blessed sacrament of the altar. And he doesn't want Jesus to be abused or trampled underfoot. So I need you to help me to bring that person back to God. I have no idea who they are, and maybe you do. To bring them back, because we're not one as a people of God until all of Santa Rosa and the surrounding communities come to know that Jesus is really present by repenting and really believing in the gospel that he's given us. So a brief moment on etiquette, coming to Holy Communion, right? You know, you come to Holy Communion right here. You approach the altar rail that comes here. You know what the sign is that tells you when you can come and receive here Holy Communion to approach the altar rail? It's when you hear that bell ring when Father receives from the chalice. As soon as he receives from the chalice, that's your sign. If you want to come to Holy Communion, no matter where you're sitting in the church, you can go ahead and come forward. Stand or kneel at the altar rail. Prepare yourself to receive. You know that Father, we always go from Our Lady's side over to St. Joseph's side. We always proceed in that fashion. So you know that the first person to receive will be on that side. And then he goes and like a typewriter, comes back to the center and moves again in that cycle. So anticipate that. When somebody leaves in that moment, you're already standing right behind them to step in there, to go there, to kneel, and to be ready to receive. So you don't have to rush. You're already there. You know what's going to happen. We've noticed that a lot of people avoid this middle section. We don't know why. Come there. Whether you're from the right side or the left side, doesn't matter. You're still going to receive Jesus the same way. There's no order that goes on there. Total free-for-all. They're not going, you step in there. You get into that place. You'll receive Holy Communion when you do. When you come to receive Holy Communion, if you're going to receive in the hand, what do you got to do? You got to make sure that your hand that you're receiving in is as flat as you can make it. But it has to be supported by the other hand. So if you come up with a baby, if you come up with a cane in your hand, if you come up with Kleenex in your hand, if you come up with a Band-Aid on your hand, if you come there with writing on your hand or dirt or anything like that, you can't receive in the hand. Father and Deacon can't put Jesus into an unsure position. So you'll receive on the tongue at that time, if something like that has happened. But if you're going to receive on the tongue, how do you do it? Well, what you got to do is you got to tilt your head at least slightly back. You got to stick your tongue out. It really needs to go outside of your mouth. Make it flat and make it fat. Make sure that you've moistened it so that it's wet and can grab Jesus. Don't dart your tongue to and fro, but relax. Jesus will come. In fact, you don't have to worry about saying amen if you're receiving on the tongue. Father and Deacon will say it for you. What do you hear when you receive Holy Communion? The same thing that Father says when he receives. He says, may the body of Christ bring you to everlasting life. Amen. As he gives you Holy Communion, giving you that beautiful benediction that's there. And when you receive, to make sure that you don't slightly open your mouth, but actually open your mouth. Don't make Father have to slip it in there like a coin slot. Don't bite Father's fingers. He needs to use those fingers for the next person. Don't lick or suck on Father's fingers. That's really, really gross. Don't do that. So wait a second after you felt Jesus touch your tongue and then close your mouth so that Father doesn't get a that takes his fingers. Babas are gross. He doesn't want to touch your babas. And in this way, we'll make sure that we receive our Lord worthily in the Blessed Sacrament. He is 100% actually, substantially, really present in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. Every particle is truly him. And so whether we're able to receive him because we're worthy, we've gone to confession, we've got right with God, or whether we're unworthy at this moment and have to ask for a blessing this time so that we can grab Father by the arm and say, help make me worthy to receive Jesus. I want to. Father and Deacon, we're always willing to help you because there's no greater thing this side of heaven than receiving Jesus in the most blessed sacrament of the altar. That's your privilege and your opportunity as Catholics. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.